You are listening to the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Markaz al-Sahaba.
5 minutes after 11 Central African Time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all the listeners of Sirius FM and to all the listeners who are tuning in, of course, all the way from Durban, Markaz, Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and to all the listeners as well from Radio Al Ansar International. Let's welcome, inshallah. There are a few listeners as well, Ustaz, from Radio Al Ansar, who's tuning and listening to the Bliss of Marriage with myself and my beloved Fadilatul Ustaz, Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhullah. I want to welcome my engineer, Brother Tobela. Anybody has any questions? 084-786-3132. I see a question coming in now on my WhatsApp. 084-786-3132 to the international overseas countries. +27847863132. Let's welcome back our beloved Fadilatul Ustad. Of course, he is back with us. Last week he was not here. He is now here with us. Ustad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. We welcome the listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We thank our technician, Brother Tobela, as well.
Ustaz, somebody is asking you, can a nikah be performed if the bride is menstruating, Ustaz? And please give us proof of the hadith, Ustaz.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When everything is fixed by both parties, the girl's party, her parents, the boy's party, and his parents, all are happy. And then you want to, appoint the date and now specify the date of the nikah, so that you must leave to the girl's family. And one of the reasons is this, so that when you get married to her, then she is not in her menses, and then there will be no problems for you regarding your wedding night and the nights after that and so forth. However, if the date has been fixed and then lo and behold, in that excitement or nervousness, she has a menses, the nikah is totally valid. There's no question about that. So as long as the girl is happy, her father gave permission, there are two male witnesses, the nikah is valid. There is no such thing that because the lady is in menses, so therefore the nikah is not valid. But for all intents and purposes and practical reasons, it's best and it is good to tell the ladies' party, the bride's party, that they should specify the date for the very reasons we are mentioning now. But the nikah is totally valid. There's no problem with it.
Hussain, let us go to Johannesburg. As I was saying earlier on, this question coming in now, it says, Mufti Sahab, I need your assistance urgently. My ex-wife took me to court to pay for maintenance. I refused to pay due to doubting the child. She fell pregnant when we were separated, Ustad. Only now do I find out the truth after the court ordered a paternity test that she is not mine. What is the Islamic stance on this, Ustad?
Here there are 3-4 different issues. When the husband accuses his wife that the child is not his child, then in an Islamic country you have the laws of li'an and so forth. In our country, remember that the best thing for you to do is that you divorce her, because always there'll be conflict and tension in that marriage. So you divorce her, so that's fine. So in that case there, the lineage of the child will go to the mother and not to the father. So that's one issue. Secondly, this paternity test and all that in an Islamic court of law, is it valid? Is it acceptable? No. It's not valid. It's not acceptable. But be that as it may, in this case, yeah, the lineage will go to the mother and not to the father, because the father has negated it and divorced that woman for this very reason. Third one is this, that yes, you, the husband, you must pay for maintenance because you divorced her. during the iddat period. So her iddat is 3 menses. So remember, then that will be your responsibility. That period there, you pay for expenses. But her post-iddat, meaning after the iddat has expired, now she's still claiming maintenance, all that is haram. And even if she went to court and the court says that now you must pay X, Y, Z amount, you don't have to use your halal money. You use the haram money and just pay her, because otherwise they might arrest you and so forth. So she is only entitled for maintenance during the iddat period and not after the expiry of the iddat. And the iddat period is 3 menses, as enshrined in a noble Quran, thalathata quru.
Somebody is asking from the land of Asia, Ustad, how do we put boundaries without creating distance in a family? Ustad?
Remember this, that Almighty Allah unites the hearts, even if people are in other countries or other continents. Very easily that can be done when you make dua for those people. And remember, occasionally, once a year, once in 6 months or whenever, you send some gifts and so forth if people are going in that direction. Third one, today, you know, the world has become a global village, so you keep contact with them via email, via WhatsApp, via SMS, so many ways of doing that. So that is how Allah Ta'ala will unite the hearts. You keep on reading, Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud, Allahumma Alif Baina Qulubina. Almighty Allah, bring about unity within our hearts. So people can be far, but they can still be united. People can be near, husband and wife, or brothers and sisters living in the same town, but they can be distant from one another, because you must remember, everybody has their own ego, and they want things their way. So the brother says, you do my way or you catch the highway. The husband tells his wife the same thing, do my way or catch the highway. So everything boils down to 2 things. Number one is this, if you want unity, then the quest for unity will come about on truth. You can't have unity on batil. You can't be united with the Qadianis or the Shias or the Agahanis and all these people. They are out of the fold of Islam. So the first thing to basis of unity will be haq and truth. And second one will be tawadu, humility, not pride. Today this is what breaks us, that each one wants it my way or you go and catch the highway. No. So there must be truth and there must be humility. Then you will see the marriage will last. Then you will see that family will remain united. Then you will see the extended family also is united, because people are willing to give other people's opinions and views, preference over themselves. So, and then you're making salam to one another, these gifts and so forth. So all this will bring about and enhance the unity.
Somebody is asking you, Ustad, is there such a thing of making sabr in a marriage in Islam, Ustad?
Yes, 100% sabr in a marriage means that you don't want everything your way. Let's take a classical example. You know, now in Hajj, you meet different types of people, and then some of them, they pour their heart out to you. So one person told me that his wife, mashallah, she comes from a good family. She was very, very much pampered and so forth. So he also was very worried. But now Allah Ta'ala took them for Hajj. Their marriage is solid and so forth and so on. So sabr in a marriage is not one way, it's both ways. The wife must also realize her allegiance now is more with her husband compared to her parents. She can't be demanding and saying every week she wants to go to her parents' home and so forth. No, your home is now with your husband. And remember, if you go to your parents' place, who live 100 kilos or 90 miles or 50, 70 miles or whatever, away from you, you're a musafir. So when you go there for the weekend, you're going to read Qasr Salat to show you that this is no more your home. Although they brought you up for the first 20 years, 25 years of your life, but now your house and home is with that of your husband. So that is the sabr you have to make as a wife. The sabr you have to make as a husband, Quran Karim teaches us that, remember that you also must realize that you are not perfect, and don't expect perfection from your wife. You got shortcomings and she has got shortcomings. وَلَا تَنْسَوْا وَنَسَوُّ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Do not forget the fadl, the grace. She went the extra mile sometimes, you went the extra mile. So if both of you concentrate on the strong points, the marriage will flourish. But if both of you or one of you only focus on the shortcomings, then that will be a recipe for disaster. Allah forbid, then it ends off in talaq and divorce. Allah forbid.
Ameen. Somebody says, "Yo, Ustad, you have to listen to this message." It says, a scholar's wife, who is also a Hazrat, drops his wife to work in a secular school, and she dons the niqab. Is this permissible, Ustad?
It's not permissible. Remember that he's supposed to be a scholar and alim, and all this is done just because of money. You know the masla, that you're the scholar, you are the breadwinner, and your wife's place is at home. Now you take her, and she goes to the secular school. She has to attend meetings. She has to interact with the principal. She has to interact with other teachers, male. So all this year, how can that be justified and permissible? When she's teaching the learners and students, so they're in the government school, there's no such thing of parda and what have you. So you will have to interact with the male students. So all this against Islam. Then next one, the subjects you are teaching, that also will be questionable. That because it is part and parcel of the syllabi, and they tell you you have to teach about abortion, they will tell you you have to teach about Darwin's theory, they will tell you you must teach about evolution. So many things they will have to tell you, and you just have to abide, because if you don't do so, then they will tell you that you will have to leave. So we are now sacrificing all our fundamentals and principles just for that lousy check and money end of the month. So definitely it's haram and not permissible.
Somebody sent a message now, Ustad. It says here that Salma, my name is Salma, respected Mufti Saab. I'm 19 years old. Inshallah, I will be getting married next month, which is Muharram. Please, I need some advice because my friends are saying marriage is only about sex, Ustad. I am afraid. I'm only 19. I need advice, Ustad.
Remember that there are three issues here. You know, our old people, I'm speaking of the Indians. Mm-hmm. So if you ask your daddy ma, nani ma, 70, 80, 90 years old, they used to say in Muharram, you must not get married. In Safar, you must not get married. Because Muharram, the first 10 days, Ghami ka Meena hai. Because it is month of sadness. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala and whose martyrdom took place. All this is propaganda of the Shias, la'anahullah. Therefore, the Shias, the first 10 days, they wear black clothes and then they hid themselves and all that. They are cursed by Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu an. They are cursed by Sayyidina Zainul Abidin rahimahullah, the honorable son of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu an. So we must remember what you see today going on, that the Shias hitting themselves and doing all these crazy things, all haram, is the curse of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu an upon them. Secondly, that for you to get married in Muharram, Safar, all that totally permissible, there is no problem with that, and we believe in that, that's the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Third one, that a marriage is not just bedroom and bathroom. What your friends are telling you is wrong. And don't get, you must remember, you know, frightened and so forth and influenced by them, because they're giving you the wrong advice. In fact, you should curtail your contact with such type of so-called friends. Marriage is a partnership. You must remember that. So when you fulfill the rights of your wife, you fulfill the rights of your husband, both parties fulfilling one another's rights, then it's a long, long, long honeymoon, and you will see how Almighty Allah will enhance the love. Because when you get married Islamically, you are virtual strangers to one another, but you want to lead a chaste, a pure life, so Almighty Allah's mercy comes to envelope you. But remember that if you want to lead a life of the non-Muslims, then you want to do this. The wife is going to the gym, the husband is playing golf, and playing golf with other women also, Allah forbid. So then remember that the whole marriage, the trust is gone. There's betrayal upon betrayal. So that is a recipe for disaster. And that type of marriage, there will always be conflict and tension, because remember, we are bringing about poison and consuming the poison, and then we're asking for shifa and cure. So that will not happen. This is the problem today with the ummah. We take poison, but we want Allah's help. So that will not happen. Does dunya, remember, has a system of Almighty Allah. And the system is to help. The help of Allah comes in Tansurullah Yansurkum. When you help Allah's deen, you practice on the deen of Islam, then the help of Almighty Allah comes. Wa yuthabbit aqdamakum. And Allah Ta'ala keeps you steadfast. So sister, you're getting married from today. Mm. After Zohar, remember, after Maghrib, after Isha, Tahajjud time, read 2 rakat salat daily by heart and memorize this verse. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. O Allah, grant us our spouses and children the coolness of the eyes. So marriage is wonderful if you click with one another. Your hearts are now together. There is unity of thought. But if you all do not click, then that nikah, that marriage becomes hell on this earth. That husband is in now, his blood pressure went up. That wife is crying all the time. So all this happens because, you must remember, there is no unity between husband and wife. So read Rabbana hablana min azwajina till the end, and read 2 rakat salat, read Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud. Almighty Allah's mercy will come and envelope you, inshallah.
Subhanallah. 22 minutes after 11, a beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning, the bliss of marriage, part 1. 084-786-3132. Brother Tobela, you have to listen to this question. This is from Titi Warda, from Port Elizabeth, from P.E. Ustad. She says, recently my husband and I got into a big fight, Mufti Sab. He slapped me in a fit of rage, and as a defense mechanism, in the spur of the moment, I whacked him with the frying pan on his groot kop. He now says he wants to leave me. He can't love with a woman who fights back like that, Mufti Sab. It's not fair. He wants to be the only one to bash me. Exal hom rechmak. Ustad, sorry, it's from Kimberley, not P.
So from Kimberley, there in Kimberley, you got the bigger hole there. We call it the holy city. H-O-L-E-C-I-T-Y. So now you use the frying pan and you gave him on his crude cop. What you gave him? You gave him a namaz mark. So you must remember that. So now he's got the dent on his head. So now that crushed his ego. That, look at this lady. So you both must ask one another for forgiveness. How can he slap you? Don't you know what Quran says, O husband? Quran Kareem says, وَعَاشِرُوا هُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat your wives with love, equity and justice. Now you go and bash her up and all that. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَا تَضْرِبِ الْوَجْ. Dad, do not smack and hit on the face. All that is haram in Islam. Totally unacceptable. So your husband, you started it and now you hit her. Why you didn't take lesson from Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala? Today in this world of ours where we are living, there's no person in the world who can reach the stage of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, who can reach the status of Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. So there was an argument. Argument is normal between husband and wife. But Sayyidina Ali showed a wonderful character. He left the house and he went to sit in the masjid and he fell asleep. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and asked Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, Aina Ali, where Sayyidina Ali? She, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, said, Baini wa bainahu shay. We had like a slight argument. He's gone to the masjid. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most beloved, the most precious to Allah jalla wala in the entire universe. But here the Master alayhi salatu salam is going as a Nabi and beloved of Almighty Allah and a father-in-law. He goes to Sayyidina Ali, فَمَّسَحَا الْتُرَابْ أَنْ دِبَاسِهِ أَنْ جَسَدِي. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam removed the speck of dust from the clothing of Sayyidina Ali, from the body of Sayyidina Ali, and says, قُمْ يَا أَبَا تُرَابْ. Where there was potentially that an explosive situation, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought about peace between Sayyidina Ali and Sayyida Fatima. So that is what both of you need to do. You wrong, husband, wife, you wrong, none of you are right. So ask one another forgiveness. You the husband, you started it, so ask her forgiveness and buy her a nice gift and said, oh my darling, I'm wrong. She also will say wrong. Now you want to say, no, I will go get married somewhere else. I don't want you. But just go back. Who gave gave the first smack? Who gave the first shot? Mm. So she just responded and she gave you a nice namaz mark there on your khurut kop. So you must remember that. So both of you are guilty. So both of you need to ask for forgiveness. And in that way, if both of you are sincere, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will reunite you and you will become stronger than before. We all learn from the mistakes of the past.
Ustad, I see Daddy from Binoni. She put a crying face and she says, Mufti Saab, I'm crying, Mufti Saab, because our days there was no such thing as divorce, Mufti Saab.
Yes, 100%, Daddy Ma. In the good old days that you know, Ma, when your father, your mother got you married 50 years ago, 70, 60 years ago, they told you, oh, Betty, that is your house. You go there, you get married, and your janaza also must come out from there. But today, when the daughters get married, then the father-in-law, mother-in-law tell them for the daughters, because they're rich, they're wealthy, and they got some influence, they don't take any nonsense from your husband, don't take any nonsense from your father-in-law, mother-in-law, and if they do anything, then you just tell us, we'll come pick you up. Allah. So which kind of advice you are giving your daughter? You're sending her with a negative frame of mind, and the husband must just tell her something, the mother-in-law must tell her something, she will start crying crocodile tears and phone the parents, and the parents also don't have common sense nowadays. Majority of them, common sense is no more common, and then you will find that the marriage breaks. But it was such a situation, it could be remedied, you could solve the problem, but we want to show our ego, we want to show that we are the big shots. You don't come and tell us what to do. So does ana khairum mean? Does I'm superior to you? I'm better than you? The slogan of shaitan is the biggest cause for our divorces taking place. And then the infidelity, the men having affairs, the women having affairs, no salat in the house, no tilawat of Quran, whole day the TV is on, Hollywood, Bollywood, Robin Hood, shaitan, cell phone is busy, people don't have time for their children. They tell a child is asking his mother, say, go from here, I'm busy with my phone. So when we are behaving like that, so what do you say? Ghar ko aag lag gayi, ghar ki chiraag se. The house is burnt with the lamp and the lantern in the house. So we don't need enemies from outside. We ourselves have become our own enemies. So that is why the ummah today is imploding. Yes, it's true, Ma. In your time, there was no divorce. And this time, divorce is just the norm. 50% or more of the marriages break, not only South Africa, everywhere the Muslims. Because remember that when we read and perform the nikah, we read the ayats of taqwa. But the husband is not interested in taqwa most of the time. The wife is not interested in taqwa. They're only interested in material things, consumerism. I want this curtains, I want this bed, I want this carpet, I want this gadget. But the connection with Allah is not there. The connection with the TV, the connection with the cell phone is there. So that is where the big problem comes about.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. 29 minutes after 11, this one says, I would love to remain anonymous, Mufti Saab. Can my daughter and her husband live with my husband and I under the same roof with my other unmarried daughters? Ustad.
Remember, that's definitely not a healthy situation, meaning that your son-in-law will become ghar jamai, and remember, he'll live with you. So if it was just your daughter and your son-in-law, and you, the father-in-law, mother-in-law, till day, it's fine. But now what has made matters worse is that there is another young daughter in the house. So I'm asking you, for all practical purposes and intents, do you think your son-in-law will keep on making parda and hijab with your daughter, meaning his sister-in-law, his wife's sister? Do you think your daughter will always make parda hijab with her brother-in-law, her sister's husband? No, we all know the situation nowadays. So therefore, that would not be permissible. You must release your daughter and son-in-law and tell them, even if they get the outbuilding or they get a bachelor's flat or whatever, so they must go and stay there. When I moved to Newcastle, my first house was a bachelor's flat. Our Haji Osman Tar, we used to call him Rahimahullah, he passed away. way. He was a very good man, you know. When I went there, Maulana, to Darul Newcastle, Maulana Qasim Sema Rahimahullah told me, come alone, there's no houses here because of the ISCO boom, you know. So when I went there, then I asked people, they say that Haji Osman Tar is the man, got a lot of houses and flats. So I went to him and I told him that he knew my family then. He said, Manga Garai, I got a flat for you. So I said, fine. So when I went to Muhasema Rahimahullah, I couldn't believe. He said, you come yesterday and today you got flat already. I said, yeah, I went to Osman Bar and he organized it. So Muhasema just smiled and he said, this guy, so he just came yesterday and today he got a house already. But it was a bachelor's flat. So anyway, for me, Sutada's fine because my wife and myself alone. So remember, that's how you stay and start your life. Everything you start with, small, you cry to Allah, then Allah Ta'ala expands and increases everything for you. Allah Ta'ala grant Haji Usman Tar Muhammad, mashallah, Jannatul Firdaus, was a very good man actually.
Ameen. Hussein, I am in a dilemma. My sister got divorced. She says she wants to marry a divorcee. We did the background checks, but this guy is bad news, Mufti Saab. He was a wife better. He is a humanizer and he is a druggie. She doesn't believe us. Ustad, she has fallen into his trap. What do we do? She attracts the wrong men. Urgently, we need your assistance, Ustad.
Remember one hadith only you have to tell your sister and tell her that Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La nikaha illa bi waliyin, that the nikah is not valid without the consent of the guardian. So your father is alive and tell him he mustn't give permission. And if she doesn't give permission, then the nikah cannot go ahead. And you, sister, you went through one divorce. Allah alone knows, maybe it's more, but let's assume one divorce. Now you want to go because you're feeling that that person also was divorced. So you divorce, he's divorced. But you don't realize that this is harmful for you. That person maybe had 2-3 wives already in the past. We know of so many instances
she
like this.
Two divorces she went through.
Yeah, now you went through 2 divorces. He, Allah knows how many divorces he went through. And now you just want to go. We call it on a rebound. You eat that finish and now you just want to get the first fish that comes your way. No. So remember, it's not permissible for you to rebel against your parents and against your father and family. Remember, they are telling you for your own interest. If that person is on drugs, that person there is bashes the woman up, so how can you ever think of getting married to him? He will sweet talk you, but your marriage will not be valid without the consent of your father's permission.
Hussein, let's go to Swaziland. It says, the Mufti Saab, we're listening to you this morning on the bliss of marriage with Maulana Hatia. There are couples out there, very sad to say, that who cheat on each other, but they still together. Isn't that shows that they still care for each other, Ustad? Anonymous sister from Swaziland, Ustad.
It doesn't show that they care for one another. What has happened to them? Therefore, our mother, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, said that, Allimu nisa'akum surat an-nur, teach your female surah Nur, chapter 24. And chapter 24, verse 26, Almighty Allah mentions what you are asking. Al-khabithatu lil-khabithin, wal-khabith a couple got married, maybe they had 1, 2, 3 children, and now they found life a little bit boring. So when they found it boring, the husband said, let me go and spice it up. So he started getting busy with his secretary, he started getting busy with somebody else and so forth. So the wife said that he's busy, so let me also get busy. Or the wife got busy first, then the husband said, let me get busy. So both of them are khabith. Both of them are impure and immoral. And that is exactly what the Quran is saying. So why do they live together? To create the false impression to people that, no, we are a very loving, caring couple and now we have children and so forth. But remember, when people continue with their vices, Almighty Allah exposes them. How many men we know today that they involve with other women? How many women we know today they involve with other men, married men or other bachelors and so forth? Because both parties, the fear of Allah has left them, and and they have fallen into the category of khabith and khabitha, impure and immoral, male and female. And this is shaitan embellishes this. Shaitan makes it look so exciting. And every day they're watching movies and internet and so forth, Hollywood, Bollywood, Shaitanhood, Robinhood. So there you will see this person is busy with that one's wife's, that neighbor's wife, that one is busy with somebody else, and all these type of things. So the vices are glorified. So what you see, you want to experiment and try. So that is why we say all this, the shaitan came right in the house, right in the lounge, right in the bedroom. So therefore, you must remember, they just stay together. They will say it is our children and create a false impression. But the real thing is, they both have become khabith and impure and immoral. Therefore, Islam says for such couples, there must be the death penalty. In Islam, for adultery, people who are married and they commit this crime, they are not given a second chance. Once they are found guilty and 100% guilty, then it is capital punishment, the death penalty. And if it's fornication that they are not married, then remember it is 100 lashes. Surah 24 verse 2. And all this punishment will be meted out in public, so that it must be a deterrent for the masses and the public.
Allahu Akbar. Somebody says, Ya Ustad, it's a, should I say, a scared, afraid sister. She says, Muftisar, my husband also gave me talaq, but we're still staying together. I'm afraid to tell the people, Honorable Ustad.
You say your husband gave you talaq, but you did not tell us how many talaq. If he gave you one talaq and then you reconcile, so that's fine. You're still in a halal union and marriage. So your husband will have two more talaqs left for the future.
Two ba'in, Ustad.
If he gave you ba'in talaq, you must remember two ba'in, then you must get remarried. And then he only has one talaq left for the future. You can't just be living like that, because with talaq ba'in, whether it is during the iddah or whether it is post iddah after the expiry, a new nikah, nikah jadid, a new nikah is required. So if you all did not get married after the two talaq ba'in, then remember you are living in sin. And if any child is born, is waladun haram, is a harami child, is a B child, illegitimate child. Now look at all the consequences and ramifications. So you and your husband better make sincere tawbah, and you'll fear Almighty Allah, and get married again, and then tell your husband he only has one more talaq left. So that is why we have these type of programs, to educate the ummah. Education brings about transformation. Information brings about transformation. So you'll need to come to your senses. You're living like this. Remember, every moment Allah Ta'ala's curse is on both of you.
Ustad, this one says, respected scholar, please advise me. We sell men's medicine like Viagra to help individuals' performance. If we sell to non-Muslims and they use it when they were their girlfriends and the income is halal, can some of that money be given as lillah? Is that okay, Ustad?
Remember that if you are running a pharmacy or you are selling this type of tablets and so forth, now there are two, three different scenarios. If you are selling it to couples and so forth who are married and there's nothing, the law also allows it and so forth, so fine, then that person can enhance his performance and so forth. He goes to the Niagara Falls in Canada with his Viagra tablets and then, mashallah, they enjoy themselves, husband and wife, so that's fine. But now you sell it to people you know going to commit zina, fornication, adultery and all that. So it means that you are also complicit in that crime. Quran Kareem states, وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. They do not assist in those people and cooperate who are involved in sin and transgression. So you need to be very careful in this regard. We can't give a blanket ruling, all cases haram. We can't say always halal, but you should use your discretion, and therefore best is to abstain from these things.
SubhanAllah. Ustad, the son says from Pretoria, Brother Tubela, you must listen to this one. Yeah. I would like to know, can the wife initiate intercourse? In other words, let's say the wife wear lingerie for her husband. In other words, she surprises him. Is this allowed, Ustad?
Yes, you must remember sometimes the husbands are tired and retired. And sometimes for long they didn't fulfill the conjugal rights of their wife. So maybe the wife think the husband sabak bhul gaya, that the husband lost his sabak, you understand? And he forgot his sabak. So then she seduces him with seductive lingerie and so forth. So till day is permissible, there's no problem with that. But remember that, say no, I'm going to put on a video for you, a porn movie for you, then all that will be haram and not permissible. So till this time, yeah, so that is fine, where the wife takes the initiative, and remember, she seduces the husband, so from 6:30, he becomes 6 o'clock, so it's fine, there's no problem like that.
I see Brother Bilal, Ustad, is enjoying the program. Ustad, the brother, is she allowed to catch him off guard?
So you must remember that for the wife to take the initiative and seduce the husband anytime is permissible, but your timing must be right. Sometimes you must remember your husband had a bad day at work. Mm. Or you must, so instead of winning him over, you will just make matters get worse. So your timing has to be good. You know your husband, you know when he's in a good mood, when he's in a bad mood. So your timing must be good. If you want to get him off guard, you want to seduce him, it's fine, but he must be in a good mood. Then inshallah, that he will be very, very welcoming and he will come to you also. Otherwise, things can go worse also. Allah forbid.
19 minutes to 12. It's a beautiful mashallah Tuesday afternoon. I see everyone is enjoying the program. We'll go for an ad break. When we get back, inshallah, don't go away. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
16 minutes to 12, it is Markatus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We welcome the listeners of Radio Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Haji Yusuf Asmal and company. Ustad, I want to know, the man wants to convert to Islam to get married to a Muslim girl, but he is afraid to do Sunnah, in other words, circumcision. Is it compulsory, Ustad?
Remember that when a non-Muslim male embraces Islam, he should be told about few things. Number one is regarding his name. If his name is un-Islamic, he'll have to change it. Second is regarding circumcision, because in Islam that is considered as the sha'air, one of the symbols of Islam. So even if he's 20, 40, 50 years old, 45 years old, he still should do so. Third one, he has to be explained the laws of ghusl, wudu, and istinja, and all these related issues regarding cleanliness, personal hygiene. So all these are compulsory. And now he says, no, I won't do this, I won't do that. Then remember that in that case, you need to show him the Quranic verse, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dkhulu fi silmi kafa. Those of you who enter into the fold of Islam, so you must enter in its entirety. So all of us born Muslim, or we embrace Islam, we must embrace Islam in its entirety, not pick and choose. This is not a supermarket. So it is a code of life, a code of conduct. So we need to know that. So if he's not prepared to do this and so forth, then remember, already it seems that he is converting and reverting to Islam is just for means of convenience. He just wants to use the lady, and then Allah alone knows what will happen to her in future. And you see many a time these type of things happen. People embrace Islam, they get married to the Muslim lady, and then they use the money and whatever else, and when she falls pregnant, then they go awol. Absent without leave, you can't find them. Whether they were living in South Africa or they ran away to India, Pakistan or Arab countries or Europe or where. So you need to be very, very careful in this regard.
Somebody says, please advise, my husband tried to scam some people from my contacts for money, Ustad. Now I am being accused. Please, I need advice. I had no knowledge of this. This is Appa Ustad.
You must remember, you need to expose your husband. If he took your phone, went through your contacts, and then he tried to scam people, deceive people, so you should tell people that this husband of yours is a con man, and none of them must fall for his tricks. And you yourself, you'll have to do istikhara and so forth, whether you should really stay in such a marriage or not, where your husband is prepared to jeopardize your honor, your izzat, everything, so that he can get illegal funds and illicit, you know, funds and so forth there. So you should be also thinking about whether you should really stay in such a marriage or not. And the best thing for you will be read istikhara. Allahumma khirli wakhtarli. Oh Allah Jalla wala, you select the best for me and you choose for me, the hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif.
Ustaz, somebody wants to know, they said that Mufti Sahab, I am married and we are trying for a child but didn't succeed yet. My husband, and my husband's age is between 40 to 45 years old. But Ustaz, I got a dream that my husband was saying to me that I should do the IVF. So we're deciding to do that. Ustaz, you're Muslim on this?
Remember, my advice to you will be the following. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never lose hope and never become despondent, disillusioned in the mercy of Allah. Write all this down. Make mental notes. Surah 37, Surah Safat, the Surah after Surah Yasin. Verse 100, the dua of a Nabi, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Oh beloved Allah, grant us pious children, pious offspring. Second one, the dua of a Nabi, Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam, is married and many years have passed. And now he cries to Allah, Surah 21 verse 89, Surah 21 verse 89 in the 17th Surah. رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدَا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. Oh Allah, do not leave me alone. You are the best one to grant the heirs and children. So Almighty Allah bless both of them. So Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam with Nabi Ismail, Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam, Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam with Nabi Yahya alayhi salam. The pious people, what do? They make istighfar at sehri time, suhoor time. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock nowadays. Why? Yumdidukum bi amwali wa baneen. You and your husband, you and your wife, wake up to hajjud time, cry to Allah, read 2 rakat salat, and in sajda read the dua of Ibadur Rahman, the pious servants of Allah. Surah 25 verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. O Allah, grant us as spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. A youngster, remember, 2-3 days ago, he contacted me and said he wants to get married. I told him, read this. Yesterday or this morning, I received the email. He said, everything fixed up. MashaAllah. So remember, this is Allah. Everything is Allah's control. So never lose hope. If you want to go for that IVF and what have you, as a last resort, the ulama gave permission with conditions. Your sperm, the husband's sperm, must be used. Nowadays you hear of so many records running around, the doctor uses his sperm. So we don't say all the doctors, but 1-2 crooked doctors you get also. And the egg of the wife must be used. So remember, if the doctor or anybody else's sperm is used, then remember that will be considered is akin to zina, fornication, adultery. So therefore, you need to be very careful to whom you go, because there are many quacks that are in the market nowadays. Quacks, Maulana, are those people, doctors, who are not really qualified, or they are qualified, but their aim is just to take the people for a ride and collect big, big, huge sums of money. Allah forbid.
Ameen. Ustad, I was told to ask you for advice for my success, and there is this woman who I love. So we're making istikhara together. We want to get married, inshallah. I want to make istikhara. What must I do, Ustaz?
Remember that it seems that you and this girl are in daily contact with one another, whether it's WhatsApp or telephones or SMS or whatever. All this is haram. Quran Kareem states, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا zina. Because you are in love with the lady, you are infatuated with a certain person, now you want to keep the lines of communication open. So all this is unacceptable. Islam wants you must be pure and chaste. Islam wants her to be pure and chaste. So once you made your mind up, yes, this is the girl I want to be, that she must be my wife, inshallah, I'll spend the remainder of my life with her. So you should be the one to read these duas I just mentioned now. So remember Surah 25 verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. And then when you are happy, the boy is happy, you, the girl's father and am I happy, so you get married, and get married as soon as possible. To procrastinate and delay, remember that is satanic and not acceptable in Islam.
Ustaz, it says here that I am a Christian woman married to a Muslim man, My in-laws treat me really bad because I'm not a Muslim, Ustad. We have 3 kids. I do not want to be forced to be Muslim, but at the same time, I am not against being Muslim, Ustad. My hubby also has been distant because of this. Please advise. I am so lost.
Remember, in this day and this age, for a Muslim lady to marry a non-Muslim man, irrespective of which faith, totally haram, all the children are illegitimate. Surah 60 verse 10. So that is one scenario. Second scenario, the Muslim male, he gets married to a mushrika, Hindu and so forth, absolutely haram. وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُ Surah 2 verse 2 to 1. So that also is null and void, and the children, remember, are all illegitimate and bees and haramis and illegitimate. The third one, he married a Jewess or a Christian lady. So some people, they say and try and justify it. Remember, we against that as well. And even a liberal scholar like Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi, he has written a beautiful, wonderful fatwa on this issue. You must remember in his fatwa kitab, Fatawa Mu'asara. And in there he proved that today's Jews, Christians, you can't get married to them. So you, the men, cannot marry such ladies. And if you read Mufti Shafi's books, the Jawahirul Fiqh, he was one of the greatest jurors Indo-Pak produced. So we have great, great scholars who are making it clear that for the Muslim male to marry a Jewess or a Christian lady, not permissible. So we will say that you must separate from him and or from her, whatever the case is, and unless both parties are Muslim, and then you can go forward. But like this, that you say you're Muslim, your wife is Christian, you have 3 children, so all this is great, big, big problems. I ask you one question, that you married a Christian lady, how you think she will bring up the children? You think she'll give them Islam? She will tell them about the cross and about Jesus, about this, about that. So already your children are ripe to exit Islam because you married such a lady. If that lady brings the cross, the crucifix in the house, what can you do? And if that lady is such that is not committed to Christianity, she'll bring wine and swine and all that in your house. So how can you allow all these type of issues? Therefore, we rule and our verdict is this, that in this day and this age, for a Muslim male to marry a Jewess or a Christian lady is haram and not permissible.
Ustad, the sister wants to know from Azadwal. She says, my husband tell me ke main ammi se baat karta hu. Bas khatam. Does this count divorce, Ustad? He said, ji.
No, it doesn't mean talaq. Remember that he said, main ammi ke saath baat karunga. It means he wants to discuss it with his mother. He's a mommy's boy. So your marriage is still valid. However, if he wants to give you talaq and so forth, then get the ulama, mashallah. You see, Azadwal, there are many ulama there. So you refer to them and they can speak to your husband and speak to you and so forth. And in that way, you save your marriage. Remember that. I hope that mother gave him good counsel and good advice. Not that you must, hamara kaam jorna hai, torna nahi. Our job and duty is to save the marriage and make the marriage, not to go and break the marriage. So therefore, you need to be careful in these cases. But your marriage is still valid.
So what does the hadith say? A woman who wants out of a marriage, who asks for talaq, for no reason, Ustad?
Mustafa alayhi salatu salam said, Ayyum amra'atin, that any woman who asks for khula or talaq and all that, min ghayri ba'asin, ay min ghayri udhrin, without any valid excuse, then faharamun alayha ra'ihatul jannah. Never mind the jannat fragrance or jannat itself. The fragrance of jannah becomes haram upon her. Open Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad, various compilations. So therefore, you the man never ever give talaq unless these real difficult circumstances. You the woman never ever ask and request for khula and divorce, because remember, most of the time that you will regret it in future. So you see all these type of things happening today.
Somebody sent a message, says, we both are Muslims, Mufti Sab. We are from Lanesia. I am a revert. I became Muslim in 2010, as she is Muslim from birth, Ustad.
Very good. If both of you are Muslims and then you perform your nikah, it's fine. But after you got married, how much of Islam are you practicing on? Are you reading your daily salat? Are you reading Quran Sharif? Are you an example for your children? So all these are questions you need to grapple with and ask yourself. So remember, it's not just the one party was born Muslim, the other one embraced Islam, and then we just remember Islam in Ramadan, we remember Islam during the Eid. No, that part-time Muslim, and they don't work in Islam. Islam is a code of life. Daily, the Islamic law has to govern our life. Then you will find that this ummah will find progress, development, honor, dignity. But if we don't do that, then Quran teaches us, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً دُنْكَ. Then Almighty Allah will make this life here a miserable life and a constrained life, which we can see today. So inshallah, that will be the final question. We thank all of you, Jazakallahu Khairan. And we say to the listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Barakallahu Fik. Inshallah, there to 1:05 we will have tafsir and we will start Surah Al-Mursalat, and thereafter 1:30 will be from the archives. So we have wonderful programs for you. Make dua for us and the Ummah at large. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I see Sister Hasina sent a message, say very, very inspiring program on the bliss of marriage. We will be seeing you tomorrow. Not afternoon, not morning, tomorrow early part of the morning on my program as Safina to Ilal Jannah. We say Jazakumullahu khairan to my beloved Fadilatul Ustan Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah. Okay, we're going to love you and leave you on this beautiful Tuesday morning. And of course, for myself, Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, Brother Tubela, the listeners, and our beloved Ustad. Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ahdina sa jami'a. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.